Welcome back to Weird Stuff in a Can. It's finally time. We're doing Surströmming. Pardon the gloves and containment vessel here. This is not drama. This is a can of Surströmming. I hope I'm pronouncing that somewhere near correctly. Swedish fermented herring. Famously, stinky fish. Now, this was supposed to be the 200th episode of Weird Stuff in a Can, and I messed up on the episode numbering, and so this is 201. The last can that we had, episode 200, was a 30-year-old can of Foster's, which I think had done something biological in the can. This stuff is supposed to do biological stuff in the can. So this is a can of... I'm going to get it out now anyway. So this is a can of herring that's been fermented and pickled in can. And the ingredients are, all that's in here is herring, water and salt. So the can itself, if we look at it, is bulging all over the place. And I understand when you open these, it's prone to spurting. So we will take necessary precautions. I think we might do all of that outdoors. And yeah, these gloves are not, this is not drama. This can is oily and sticky and a bit smelly on the outside. It's not an unpleasant smell at this stage. It's just a rather penetrating smell of fish. I presume just because of an artifact of the canning process. Most canned foods go through a pressure cooking process after the can is sealed, and that sterilizes the contents, kills any bacteria and other microbes, and preserves the food inside. This is not like that. So this has been canned. This is just fish that's been canned with salt and water. I think it goes in raw, and there are bacteria present that have fermented the herring. The salt will have favoured certain bacteria, which are the more friendly types, such as lactobacillus and those gut-friendly, or at least not-so-gut-hostile bacteria, at the same time as inhibiting the real nasties like protozoans and Clostridium botulinum, botulism bacteria. So anyway, this has been pickled by the process of fermentation inside the can, so it's biologically active in here, and that's the reason it's bulging. And I think just the fact that it hasn't been through a pressure cooking process is the reason the outside of the can still got traces of what's on the inside. I'm going to open this underwater, so it won't really matter. The can's going to get a wash when we go to open it. Looking around the can, there are some ingredients there, but it just does say 6 to 8 pieces of herring, water and salt. Best before date is sometime in 2026. It is September 2026. There's some nutritional information there. And a rather old-fashioned looking logo. I imagine the design of these cans probably hasn't changed an awful lot over time because this is a very traditional product in Sweden. I imagine this might well have stood the test of time. Roda Ulven, Red Wolf, is that? Am I talking too much here? It might seem like I'm talking so much in order to put off the inevitable opening and tasting of this can. And I think for once that may be true. Anyway, now, a lot of other YouTubers have reviewed this foodstuff or opened cans of this and reacted to it, and with all kinds of screechy drama and so on. A lot of the time, they're doing that in the same sort of way that people tasting Marmite for the first time make a mistake of taking a great big, in the case of Marmite, spoonful of it, and then reacting to the fact that it tastes very strong and wasn't what you quite expected. As I understand it, Surströmming is enjoyed in very small amounts with other things. Rye, crisp breads, boiled potatoes, sour cream and chives, butter and cheese. So I'm going to open this. I will taste a little bit straight out of the can on its own. And obviously I'll let you know what it smells and tastes like on its own. But I'm going to try to do justice to this and taste it in the context it's meant to be tasted in, which is with all of those accompaniments and outdoors. Anyway, I think that's probably as much as I can possibly put off the opening of this can. So let's go outside and get this open. So common wisdom is to open this underwater or under a towel because it can spurt when it's open because of the pressure inside. Also on the internet, I did hear people saying, don't let it touch anything that you want to keep. So I have lined my washing basin with a disposable bag, partly because of that reason, but also partly because this basin, I use it for draining my rock tumbler. This is not food safe, whereas the bag is clean. Anyway, let's go. So, underwater. Well, there was an emission of gases. And I think now we're probably safe, well, safe within parameters to continue opening. Brabantia making a fine job of opening this can. And there we go. There is the Surströmming. So let's have a little sniff. It just smells kind of pickled. I'm going to lose a little bit of the brine just so we don't end up spilling that all over the place. And then that can go out onto a plate. I'll set this aside and now I'll go and get all the accompaniments.
So just preparing the accompaniments for my Surströmming. I've got some salad potatoes. We'll just give those a quick boil. Got some nice butter. I'll take a bit out and let that come up to room temperature so it's nice and spreadable. I was going to do sour cream and chives, but I couldn't get sour cream. So I've got some Greek yogurt, 10% fat. So it's creamy, it's rich, and it's sour. That should be close enough. And I haven't got any fresh chives at this time of year, but I've got some frozen chives from the garden. So there we go. Actually, I think we could stand to have a bit more. So there we go, sour cream-ish and chives. And I didn't see it in anybody's suggestions, but I think some sliced gherkins will probably be quite nice. I might even throw on a few of my little tomatoes. And then I've got some rye crisp breads. They're in this box because, unfortunately, my order from Scandi Kitchen got a bit kicked around in transit and these got smashed to pieces. They'll still be fine, I'm sure. And then also I've got a red onion, which I'll just dice very finely. I almost forgot to talk about the cheese. So this is Swedish cheese, and I'm going to try to pronounce that. What is that? Västerbottensost? Sorry if I've got that wrong. I probably have. This is supposedly the right kind of cheese to have with this fish. This cheese is fantastic, actually. You can see this was a wedge of cheese. I've already been eating this. This cheese really and truly deserves a video of its own. It is, well, I'm going to have a little taste and I'll try and tell you about this cheese. So, it's a hard cheese with lots of little voids in it and it's very mature. So it's got those little crunchy, I think it's calcium lactate crystals in it, which if you like that sort of thing, you'll love this cheese. To try to compare this to something which more people might know, so let's compare this to a vintage cheddar. It's drier and a little bit more waxy in texture. It's firmer, less creamy, more crumbly. It's got a similar depth of flavour. I'll give you a bit in a minute. It is deeply, deeply savoury. The savoury umami note in here is so deep, it's almost meaty. Cheese is a kind of meat, a tasty yellow beef. And it's got a little bit of a nutty note and a bit more of a buttery note to it. A little bit of bitterness, a bit like some of those Alpine European cheeses. It's a really, really good cheese, but I can't just stand here eating cheese. Is that good? There's no more, sorry. You may go. Okay, I think we're more or less ready to start. So I'm just gonna have another little sniff of this Surströmming. Do you know what? I'm starting to wonder if the internet has told me lies about this because it's an interesting smell and it's quite penetrating, but I don't really get the problem. Anyway, to go with this, we're going to have some of my homemade nettle beer, Atomic Shrimp Nettle Brow, which has developed and conditioned in the bottle a bit more since we last saw it in its own video. So cheers, or should I say skål. Right, well here we go then. So, they're very, very squishy. And a bit kind of gloopy. And there is kind of acrid smell to it. So let's open it up and see what we've got here. So still very much a raw fish texture. Still got all of its little bones in there.
Well, there's a little bit I can just toast on its own. This is not how you're meant to have it, by the way. Just, as we said, just taste it on its own like that so that we can get an idea. It's got a, yeah, peculiar acrid smell to it. But anyway, here we go. face camera over there so you can see my reaction. Now, we are attracting flies now. Okay, it's strong. And it is fishy. I don't think that's a very nice way to enjoy it. But also, I don't really know what the fuss is about. That is not a deeply unpleasant sensation. It's certainly a novel one. But I wouldn't say that's an unpleasant thing. So let's try it with a few accompaniments now. A little bit of crisp bread, which we will butter using a knife that hasn't been in the fish. Potatoes, fish, and what should we say, some red onion on this. Some of that will stay on that. Here we go, down the hatch. So, surströmming in some sort of semblance of what it's meant to be served like. It is attracting flies, that's really interesting. Here we go. So that does bring out some of the slightly sulfurous aromas. I think the onions are doing that as well. Have I got a dud can here? Because I don't think this is not horrible. It's like pickled fish. It's like fish sauce with lumps. Or it's like kimchi with no vegetables. I mean, is this maybe a not very mature can? Maybe it gets a bit more stinky than this if it sits in the can for longer. So let's try a bit of this cheese, some of the fish, and a bit of sour cream and chives. How about that? The saltiness of the cheese definitely carries that along a bit. I mean, I think I was right with the Marmite analogy. This is like a flavour enhancer. So it's like, you know, if you get yeast extract. What haven't we had? Haven't had it with the pickles. Now, I don't even know if this is a... I can't imagine this isn't a thing that people do with this. Pickles and fish together. So... the flies are a problem. Maybe... I have a feeling this is a winter thing, probably. So, bit of potato. Bit of the fish. And a couple of slices of gherkin. I can't imagine eating a lot of this. It is very, very salty. But I think that's the whole point. You don't eat a lot of this. This is almost like a relish that goes with whatever you're putting together. I quite like that. It is delicious. It's very, very, I can see why people wouldn't like that if you don't like fish. The texture's really kind of probably the biggest challenge of it because it is a very soft fish texture. It's softer than smoked salmon. It is a bit like eating raw fish. I mean, I suppose it isn't cooked other than chemically by the lactic acid formed in the pickling process. But I'm going back for another piece. I will probably end this part of the video here, I think. But yeah, if I happen to travel to Sweden and I find this on the menu somewhere, I'll be trying this again. Yeah, I completely understand how this is a delicacy. Like I say, it's like fish sauce with big lumps of fish in it. I'm maybe not selling it there, but it has got that kind of fermented, deeply savory umami vibe that you get from fish sauce, from Worcester sauce, from those sorts of things. So flavor wise it is quite sour, it's very salty, and if it's slightly fishy, deeply savory, kind of tangy, very pickled. And yeah, these do seem to be the right things to have with it. So there we go. That was Surströmming, weird stuff in a can on atomic shrimp. I hope that's been interesting. Thanks for watching, and I hope to see you again soon. Skål!